Hi, this is Wayne Zell, and welcome back to Blueprint for Wealth, where we help entrepreneurs and others realize their personal dreams of wealth and freedom, but introduce you to new entrepreneurs and new innovators like Carlo Rivas, who is an amazing guy. He's been doing this for 20 years. Let me give you a little bit of background on him. He's a visionary, he's a strategist, and he's an innovation enabler, which I think we're going to dig into a little bit, and he's going to tell us a little more about what that means. He helps and guides leaders to drive the future of technology, which is really where the future of this world is headed. In a world where technology is evolving exponentially at lightning speed, he stands at the crossroads of vision and execution, which it's really hard to bring those two together. We're going to talk about some of the stories he's got on that. He's been doing this for over 20 years. He guides inventors and startups and venture-backed firms and venture capitalists and Fortune 500 companies in specializing in accelerating innovation execution, turning complex ideas into effective strategies, and then roadmaps, creating roadmaps that make a meaningful impact. After a career as a serial entrepreneur, I'd like to know more about that, Carlo. He is now helping technological products achieve market fit. He supports companies in building the right ecosystem as well for market success. So, Carlo, first of all, before we dig into what you're doing today, tell us a little bit about what you did before, how you spent the last 20 years, and even before that, where you acquired your education and your interest in becoming this innovation enabler.
Sure, no, absolutely. And thank you, Wayne, for inviting me and for the amazing presentation. You did an amazing job presenting myself. So
thank you.
And so let's say this. So for the last 20 years, I've been a serial tech entrepreneur. So I love technologies from a young age. So I've always been curious about everything, you know, how stuff works, you know, and what will come next and so on. And this is my nature. So I'm curious by nature.
Give me an example of what you worked on, you know, 20 years ago and how you cut your teeth on technology.
But, you know, 20 years ago, the world was just a bit different, and I was in Italy, you know, that was not so advanced sometimes as US. You know, when I grew up, for example, you know, we always knew that the US was 20 years ahead of Italy. And so, and this was, why US so advanced and the rest of the world is not so advanced, you know? And so, for example, you know, I remember just, you know, for example, we were the first one to explore the methane engine for the cars. So in Italy, normally cars are run on gasoline, the regular gasoline, you know, and there were the methane technologies coming on. And so I convinced my father, you know, to buy it, for example, you know,
okay,
and using it. But it was, you know, a totally different world at that point. You know, for example, when I started my first business, the startup ecosystem in the Silicon Valley was already strong. You know, in Italy, we didn't hear about that. You know, it was something like really far away from us. And still, for running a business 20 years ago, I had to knock on the doors of accountants and, you know, lawyers to understand how to do it. Because online, you didn't find a lot of information in Italian.
Yeah. So when you're talking about the ecosystem, what do you mean?
You know, all the people, you know, involved. So the economical ecosystem, the investor ecosystem, the how, you know, interact with marketing, sales, the people, the entrepreneurship, and so on. You know, right now, for example, we are including also in the ecosystem the incubators, the accelerators, the venture capitalist groups, everyone that is enabling, you know, the business development and the business efficiency and effectiveness into the market.
So were you working, you went to school, obviously. What did you study in school, actually? What was your background?
So I was lucky enough, you know, to do an eclectic, let's say,
liberal
path.
Arts.
Yes, because, you know, in the high school, even if my high school was focused on electronics and communications, I studied mechanic, physics, chemistry, and biology, so a lot of different, you know, topics in the school as well, and also IT, also software development. And so in the college, I chose a software development degrees. However, it was I didn't know it in the beginning. You know, I enrolled in Bolzano, in my city. That is was the first course of that type. It was a software development. It was the first year of the course, and they decided to create a manager with IT skills in order to help, you know, the digitalizations. You know, help companies to understand better all the IT stuff and integrating into the companies.
Right.
And so only one third of the courses was around, you know, IT, software development. The rest was around philosophy, anthropology, and, you know, people-related stuff, economy, you know. So I was really
A
a
broad
lot of
education,
stuff.
which is good because that helps you think out of the box. If you're all you're
Yeah,
doing is
absolutely.
engineering and software engineering, you're thinking in a box, you never can get out of that box. And so your background is really conducive towards helping visionaries. So what businesses did you start up and did you ultimately exit from over the last 20 years? And then we'll start talking about some of the cool things you're working on today.
Yes, no, absolutely. One of the important part of my life was 12, 15 years ago when I decided to stick on the mission, my personal mission, to accelerate technology adoption. Because before of that was, okay, I create my businesses, just what I love and so on. But 15 years ago, I decided to say, okay, why we cannot really adapt more technologies in a faster ways, in a simpler ways. We continue to invent stuff, but we continue to use old products, and then we are not really solving the problems, you know, that we are facing every days. And so thanks to that, I started jumping in more advanced technologies, and I help, you know, also I jump also in accelerator programs, in incubators programs, as founders first, and later on as entrepreneur in residence, advisor for startups and so on. So my first companies on this topic was Innovation Discovery, where we tried to create a technology search engine. So I interviewed the chief innovation officer around the world in different corporates, also consultants in innovations and so on, to understand the pain points. And the first product was an innovation database. But I understood immediately that it was too hard to keep it updated on the cool stuff all the times, you know, was a massive work, you know. And so I decided to say to identify something more lean and more effective, and was a technology search engine able to identify the best technologies aligned to a description, like ChatGPT today's. You know, you are writing a prompt about what you're looking for, the type of characteristics that you're looking for, and so on, and he, you know, promote you to the patents, the startups, the products aligned with what you're looking for. And then another cool stuff that I work on during the years was a digital avatar to accelerate medical research. So it was a digital copy based on mathematical models instead of AI, and of entire physiology of a human body, able to simulate clinical trials on the computers instead of using animals and people.
Yeah, sure. Wow. So what are you working on today? Tell me what you're doing today and how you do this and who you're working with if you're allowed to talk about it.
Yes, sure. You know, based on my personal mission of accelerating technology, you know, adoption, at a certain point, 3 years ago, I decided to say, okay, I cannot build 100 companies. It's not possible. I don't have the time, you know. And so why I'm not starting helping visionaries making it effectively? And so I transitions to being an entrepreneur to help others, you know, running their own visions and make it happen. So today I help technological products achieving market fit, supporting the companies in building, you know, the right ecosystem for the market success. This is where most of the time, you know, people are failing, unfortunately. And so I help these visionary founders make it happen.
So the visionaries, how do you find these visionaries through incubators and other venture capital firms, private equity firms? How do you locate them? How do they find you?
Yeah, that's sometimes it's not easy to do that, but fortunately, you know, luckily for me, in my previous, years, running, helping accelerators around the world, being part of their innovation ecosystem or globally, I also train chief innovation officer about technology scouting and so on. I build a strong network of partners, and also my LinkedIn profile is really targeted, in a specific direction. So I'm speaking all the times, all the days to these visionaries. And so many times they're reaching out to me. I continue to outreach on LinkedIn with specific, queries to just identify the people that are more, visionaries than others in what they are doing. And it works. So it works a lot.
I've worked with visionaries, technological visionaries over the years. They're amazing. They have the energy of 1,000 people. They could power a city with their energy. And they see things that we don't see. And one guy in particular, I keep thinking of, he took a company public. We helped him take a company public back in 1991. And this company was creating the first pen computer. And you can imagine where we are today. Apple didn't even have anything like this at the time. And so his vision was so far ahead of where the technology allowed us to be at that time. How do you marry the vision with the experts that you talk about in some of your videos that I've listened to, who are great scientists who understand where we are today, but don't have the wherewithal or the capacity to see where we're headed? How do you marry these people together to make them work together and make the innovator, the visionary, actually achieve their goal of bringing their vision to reality? How do you do that? It's
No,
got to be a unique talent. I mean, what do you do?
yes, this is exactly the pain point I'm suffering every day, because when you are an expert of something, it's pretty hard to leverage your mind. Because so if I tell, an engineer, oh, we can do this, and it's not possible because, for example, he's breaking some physical laws, he's saying, no, this is not possible, and stop listening to you. And so one of the trick, for example, I'm using to speak with the experts is instead of asking, is this possible? For example, I ask how this could be possible.
Sure.
And that point, I'm leveraging their ego to identify a solution. They must think differently because they say, okay, you are challenging me, I will win the challenge.
Love that. That's
And this
good.
is the way you have to deal this with these people most of the times, and make them working together, working always in the positive, positive message, and find out the solution instead of speaking about the problems. Okay, the problems, we speak of the problems just to collect information. Then let's analyze the problems and speak about the solutions, not continue to say, no, it's not possible. We don't, go anywhere.
So they come up with maybe they come up with a solution. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. It's like Einstein when he came out of his with his theories of relativity. Nobody thought that he was making any sense. Nobody adopted it. And then slowly over time, over a century later, they were still proving the validity of his theories. You must run into some people with some incredibly good ideas, but the experts are the ones saying, no, you can't do that because of this or that, because of this box. It doesn't fit in this box. It's a rhomboid figure that doesn't fit in this circle that we've created around whatever the technology is. Where do you see us headed in the United States, worldwide, vis-a-vis technology, and particularly because of AI, artificial intelligence, and how fast it's moving? What do you see us doing in 5 years? What are the visionaries telling you that we should be doing? And where do you see us headed in the next year, 2 years, 5 years from now, technologically?
Technologically speaking, we could already live in the future right now. It's not a technological problem, this one, because it's more a mindset problem. We need to change how our school are designed and how we are training people, from young age to adapt to the changes. Because we have so many technologies already on the market that is mature enough, to change the entire world system right now. but we are not able to adapt them because bureaucracy, legal stuff, regulations, struggling, just fear of changes of the people, skepticism of something, and so on. And it's not about the money most of the times, because novel technologies sometimes cost just a bit more just because there is no the scaling stuff, the scaling
Right.
things behind, But if everybody start using it, we can do that. And it's crazy because politicians that are traveling all around the world all the times, and all the cities has the same issues, okay, from pollutions, healthcare, traffic, whatever. Some countries has already solved the problems in a really great and smart ways with using technologies or just smart reasoning. Why you don't adapt that in your countries as well? Why we don't
What
try to do
countries are
this?
doing a good job of adopting technology to solve some of these world's problems?
But for example, you see north of Europe is really advanced in green energies. Okay, they have almost removed completely fossil fuel continuously. But even just thinking about solar panel, that is something basic. I'm living in California now. The percentage of solar panels here is, I think, below 10% right now. Okay, in my region, in north of Italy, that we are surrounded by Alps, so we don't have the sun all the year long. So the sun of California, of course, we have 30% of the houses covered by solar panels, and we right now there are rules that is mandatory to use solar panels for new buildings. It's and it really depends, about the mindset that we are using to solve the problems and the willingness to really solve that problems in the best ways. Because everywhere there are technologies that are amazing. We need just to adapt them, not just continue to create new solutions that will never be adapted.
I mean,
So
I think it's going to be hard for the next several years in this country to overcome a different mindset that has been adopted by the current new administration. But without getting into politics, we have to look past that. We have to look, obviously, less regulation may facilitate more technological development, but you also need regulation to ensure that it's being used for the right purpose, right? So there's always this tension of, are we using the technology for a good purpose, or are we using it for a bad purpose, a nefarious purpose that might lead to, people fighting wars more efficiently and more deadly?
yeah,
Those are the
undoubtedly.
things that I personally worry about in the speed of technology, but at the same time, facilitating the use of fossil fuels, which exacerbates climate change problems that everyone's experiencing worldwide, is, I don't think, the right answer. But what do you do when the political environment is going in multiple different directions that supports things that may not help the rest of the world and the country, for example? But I don't know. So let me ask you a different question. We'll get away from the politics. You challenge the expert to come up with a technological solution to the problem that the visionary has identified, and the visionary sees, where we need to go. The expert says, okay, let's come up, here's a couple of solutions that might work to implement this particular vision. But then how do you get it to market? How do you achieve a market fit, and how do you get it from prototype to solution to now we've got a market fit? That must be a real challenge.
It is unfortunately, and I learned in the hardest way, you can really blend the market because it's huge. It's not just blending the mindset of one single person, because if you speak with the expert, you can find a way to blend him. But if you are speaking with the market, maybe you can conquer, one company, five companies, but not the entire markets, because it's an ecosystem that is alive, continue to change. And the people, and most of the people, unfortunately, most of the people in the market, most of the people in the world, they are not really visionaries. They don't see the future. They live in the past most of the times, even not in the present sometimes, And so how you can do it is, first of all, you have to identify the real problem, the root of the problem that you have internally, Because many times you don't recognize that you have an issue internally with your ecosystem. You could be your advisors, your consultants. You are not supported by the right people. Happens a lot of times in the startup world. Then the founders, the original founders, were the visionaries. Then investors jump on board because of a vision, but they steer the company, try to steer the company in a more safe, business model, more safest technologies, where everybody is working, in the market, because they want to conquer the market that is already available instead of creating a new market. And so you must be sure that your ecosystem is the right ecosystem, and identify who it could be the root of the problems internally. After that, you have to create your supportive ecosystem globally. Okay. Probably in every industry, you will have 10% of the companies that are really ready for changes, that are really looking right now for changes. And you have to identify those companies, those partners, those supply chains, channels, whatever, the right people around. And every industry, every technologies, every product is different. So this is the hardest part in the beginning. Because if you decide, many companies, many solutions are try to enter one market, okay, that's it. And I decide to stay, for example, in a retail market, I don't know. Okay, and selling to a specific companies with a specific business model. You cannot be so unflexible because you have to understand that your product can serve many different markets, many different industries, and using many different business models. You have to test which one is the best one for you and whether people are more welcoming new solutions, novel solutions. Instead, a lot of companies, a lot of startups are just trying to enter the market in a single way that they have already defined without understanding that the problem is not what they are doing. The problem is the market. The market can have technological gaps, don't know how to use specific technologies, can have skepticism, can have fear of changes. Maybe they are not really looking for anything new because they are just followers looking for when, if the market is moving somewhere, I will follow to not lose money. But I don't want to create markets. I don't want to be the driver of the innovations in my market. And this is where you have to work, in the global ecosystem, identify the right people supporting you that believe in your vision and wants to make it happen.
Give me an example of a technological solution that you've been helping the founder with or the visionary with that where you're struggling to get it to market or even identify the market. What are some of the things that you're working on that could bring us a little closer to what you're saying theoretically?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So right now, for example, I have a company from Italy that they have created fully recyclable storage batteries. So it's not based on lithium. Okay. And this technology has been around for 15 years, has been already tested, validated, so it's a solid technology. Of course, in the beginning, it was too expensive in comparison of lithium, and that's fine. Now the batteries it has almost the same cost of lithium, or sometimes for a full life cycle of the batteries, okay, is cheaper because it's more stable, has less trouble in hazardous problems like that batteries, lithium batteries can get fires. And these batteries cannot. You can put into the water and don't do anything,
So
But
that's an interesting concept, but getting it to market, how do you get people to adopt that?
exactly. You have to understand where are some use case that they don't want the lithium batteries for any reason. For example, one of the best use case is for the ships, batteries on ships. You cannot have a lithium battery on ships because if something happens, you are in the middle of the ocean and you put water on the lithium.
Catches fire immediately.
Yes, and become worse and worse and worse. Okay, in this case. This is an example of where you can identify the right channels where your solution is a must to have for their problems because they don't have alternatives right now that is effective,
So that's a great example, actually. Lithium batteries and the disposal of lithium batteries. Excuse me. And the And the reuse of them, or the dispose, where do you dispose all of these batteries that are in the electronic vehicles?
Yes,
My
we will be in
Tesla,
trouble.
my Tesla battery is going to run out at some point. What do I do with it at the end? What do they do with it? What happens to this stuff? Does it create a worse disposal problem than we already have for automobiles and vehicles?
Yes, no, absolutely. And there is already some ways to recycling the lithium. However, it's not cost effective, and this is the problem today with the market as well, because sometimes we don't do the right things for the environment. We do just
Yeah.
the right things, for our pockets. And we will have a lot of trouble in the next 10, 20 years, with these mountains of lithium everywhere that we don't know how to dispose them.
I know. And then it rains, and then the whole world catches fire. No, just kidding. So we've got all these founders, all of these visionaries who have created potentially innovative ideas, and we've got the experts who are helping them create the solution to fit their vision. What are they missing? What are these visionaries missing? What are they overlooking typically when you're working with them?
Yes, no, the problems of the market and the problem of the founders in some ways has the same denominator. So the mindset, because most of the times the visionaries, they are amazing. They are a genius, and they fall in love with the technology. They see the future. They create amazing technologies that is unbelievable sometimes that they already exist. It can be done. However, they think that the best technologies can win the market. And this is, just a bit naive sometimes because, check every industry in the world right now. Do we have a best solution in some industries today's that is winning into the market? Most of the times, the answer is no. We don't have a best solution in any industry because it's market, it's marketing, it's branding, has totally different rules. It's not about the technology itself. And so they need to understand that having the best solution is just the starting point. Is not really related to the market in any way. So they need to transform the science into a market product, a market branding, something that makes sense for the market to be acquired, to be used, and to satisfy what the market needs today. And most of the time, the market is not needing the latest technologies, So it's the job of these visionaries to understand that these basic rules and understand that there is a way workaround, on this. But they cannot just pretend that these rules are not applied for their product.
Yeah, I mean, well, not all the same rules apply to every product simply because not every product is adaptable to every individual or every industry, right? So you're solving a problem by this technology. You're solving a need that is created in the marketplace. You see a way to solve that need by using technology or creating a new product. I mean, I can think of so many different examples, some very simple, some very complicated, and some, consumer-oriented, some very, very, very focused on business only. It's a B2B type setting. So therefore, there are different approaches to working with different technologies in different sectors. Do you work with any specific technologies in particular, or any specific market sectors as your specialization, or do you work in all areas?
No, I'm technology agnostic. I love technologies. I'm curious about everything. So, and this is also what helps me in helping the visionaries because, today innovations is more of a time, most of the times it's cross industries, cross technologies, and you connecting the dots between different stuff around and bring something from one place to another place and so on. But the approach is exactly the same in any industry because we are not speaking about a specific solution or industry here. My approach is about human behavior. So you have to understand humans, how their mindset is pushing back, your solutions in a specific industry. And this is not related to your product or solutions. It's more related about the single market and the single person behind the market. You have to understand them before understanding the market itself or the technology itself.
So, I sort of summarizing what you're saying is there are technologies being created because a visionary sees a particular problem that he's going to solve with this technology. He doesn't know how to get it to the market. There are the experts that help provide him with the solution of how to actually make this idea into something that is real and functional. And then there's you that helps bridge them from product prototype idea to identifying the market that it's going to fill and making sure that it actually will fill it and helping create a business model that can make the founder successful economically on creating this new product or using this new technology. That's a long road to hoe. Do you create roadmaps for the visionaries? Is that one of the functions that you serve?
Yes, exactly. I'm working as a strategist behind, and try to understand them how to hack the system. Because that you speak about the problems, that the role needs. Many times, the visionaries has identified the root of the problem, but the market is still speaking about the symptoms. And it's hard sometimes to guide the market, the people in the market to the root of the problems, because they don't believe that is the real problems. They want a solution for the symptoms, So sometimes it could be easy just to move the communication, the problem, the solution communications from the root to the symptoms and using these as entry points. Sometimes that solution that they have created is based on amazing technologies most of the times that it can be applied for many other industries. And instead of entering their market where they think that there is the best market so far, it's better to enter in a different market where they understand the root of the problems, where the solution is a fit for that, and later on addressing the main markets that the founders has had in mind in the beginning,
Yeah, so starting off in a specific niche, a specific function, solving the problem that the potential buyer also sees and identifies, and then using the technology to satisfy needs and demand in other markets that may be much harder to get to, but ultimately you can try to fill later on. We're talking with Carlo Rivas, who is a innovation enabler is the best way I could describe him. I think he describes himself the same way, and an implementer, helping founders implement these technology solutions that are mind-blowingly innovative. Carlo, how do people get in touch with you if they want to talk to you more about helping them implement their technologies?
So the best way is via LinkedIn. So I'm really
Okay.
active on that. They can see, also my articles about innovations, how to make it happen, market fit and whatever. And reaching out to me on LinkedIn is the best way they can
But you also have a website. It's carlorivas.com. I saw that and some interesting.
Yes, exactly. I have also my website, but that I'm so active on LinkedIn that most of the people are reaching me there. And so I'm, let's
Through
say,
there.
sometimes 24 hours a day on
Yeah,
answering, their questions and so on. And I love, to speak also with founders, to engage, to provide also free advice to everyone. This is part of also of my knowledge. Speaking with my visionaries, speaking with the founders, I'm acquiring a lot of first-hand informations about specific markets, even if I don't get money from them, for just having a call, that is fine because it's knowledge that is unavailable,
well, I'm really grateful that you took the time to spend some time with us on Blueprint for Wealth today. And I know that the listeners, and there are many, and it's growing every week, are going to be interested in reaching out to you. So hopefully you'll hear some more from some founders that you haven't touched base with yet. And I'm again, thank you for being on Blueprint for Wealth today.
Thank you again for inviting me. Really nice
Absolutely.
to be here.
Nice to see you. And again, Carlo Rivas, implementer of innovative technologies, helping founders realize their dreams of wealth and freedom. Thank you again for being on Blueprint for Wealth. And tune in next time for another fascinating entrepreneur who's got a great story to tell. We love to tell them to you. Have a great day.